Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, Ellie MacArthur, Dinah Jansen, Aaron McCulley, and Zane Mungle. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. It's been a landmark year for Kingston's Great Lakes Museum, from celebrating its 50th anniversary to winning Ship of the Year for the SS Keewatin, and now being named Ontario's Choice for Top Small Museum, Art Gallery, or Historic Site. The recognition comes from Attractions Ontario, chosen by public vote across the province. For the museum, it's yet another milestone in a year already packed with achievement. The museum's executive director, Bev Shippers, spoke with CFRC about this latest accomplishment.
We are thrilled. We are delighted. It is an honor for us to have received this award, yet another award, and it speaks volumes to the community that supports us. The staff and volunteer team have worked tirelessly to become a museum that could win an award like this.
Behind the accolades lies hundreds of hours of painstaking work, from restoring ship rooms and opening new areas to curating fresh exhibits. The museum has also been looking for creative ways to bring in new guests.
We also hosted a clay and glass art exhibit. It's called From Fusion, which is the Ontario Clay and Glass Association. We hosted that for about 2 months over the summer, which is definitely different. The theme of the exhibit was water, and it was specifically designed so that people would think of us while they were creating their artwork. So we hosted that in the museum, which I think goes a long way for kind of connecting communities that wouldn't normally be connected, the art scene with the historic maritime scene. We're very interested in working with other communities outside of museums and other museums here in the city.
The Great Lakes Museum works closely with its neighbors, whether sharing events or celebrating milestones together.
One thing that's interesting about Kingston, because I'm sure you know this, that it's the museum capital of Canada because there's so many of us here. We work really closely together. And often you will see when there's an event happening at one museum, all the other museums are coming as well and supporting and having booths. So just this past, earlier this month, we had our 50th anniversary celebration, and we had other museums in the city coming, and they had booths and they were sharing their stories with the people that were coming to our museum. And we do that a lot around Kingston.
And province-wide, the win carries extra weight.
There's probably just over 700 museums, art galleries, and historic sites in Ontario. So there's a lot. Most of them are small museums like us. There is obviously the large ones like the ROM and the Canadian Museum of Nature, but most of them are small. And that's a surprising number. Because there is over 700 museums and art galleries and historic sites in Ontario, it makes it really special that we were chosen for this award.
This has been a year of growth for the museum.
In 2023, so just 2 years ago, this museum saw about 8,000 people in the entire year. In 2024, this museum welcomed just over 27,000 people. And this year, in 2025, we've already welcomed 26,000 people, and it's not even the end of September. So we feel like we're really helping bring people to Kingston, and also we've added something new to the city. There is finally, like, people who live here are starting to see that we're a place to come visit as well.
So what's next? The SS Keewatin remains open for tours until November, including evening haunted walks. Winter will bring the Nautical Nights lecture series and film screenings, while staff and volunteers plan for the next stage of growth. For the Great Lakes Museum, Ontario's Choice is more than a title. It's 50 years of history and a future that looks brighter than ever. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Henry Walker with your campus news for this week.
The This is Henry Walker with CFRC's Campus Beat, bringing you the latest in Queen's campus news. On September 26th, members of the Queen's Branch of Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, SPHR, held a sit-in at the John Deutsch University Center, the JDUC, calling on both student governments, the AMS and SGPS, to take a clear stance on student demands for divestment. The sit-in focused on three key actions: full disclosure of all AMS and SGPS financial investments, divestment from companies that SPHR says are complicit in Israeli military operations, and holding a student vote on the issue during upcoming general assemblies.
The main goals of today, in both that they apply to both of the student unions, is that they disclose all of their investments.
At the center of this campaign is a push to endorse QUAD. That's the Queen's University Apartheid Divestment Initiative. QUAD has published a list of companies, including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Elbit Systems, which it says supply weapons used in ongoing violence in Gaza.
We're pushing the university to divest from those companies. This is not new. This is just the latest iteration.
SPHR members describe financial ties on the part of the university to those corporations as unacceptable, especially in the context of what they and the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry have referred to as an ongoing genocide in Gaza.
There's no such thing as a neutral stance when it comes to genocide. Queens cannot claim neutrality while its investments arm one side of...
The sit-in included speeches, student outreach, and discussion with members of the AMS executive, who met with the group inside the JDUC.
We're here today to try and encourage both of our student governments to endorse student activism.
At one point, campus security warned SPHR members that they were trespassing and threatened to call Kingston police. But when they returned, the AMS president reportedly asked them to leave, at which point they did and did not make a future reappearance. Beyond the question of divestment, SPHR also emphasized a broader goal, making Queens a place where students feel safe and supported in joining and organizing Palestinian solidarity efforts on campus. They say that while support for Palestine is high among undergrads, many students are hesitant to get involved out of fears of institutional or social backlash. SPHR says this movement is long-standing, part of a wider cross-campus divestment campaign that's existed for over a decade at Queens and other universities across North America. In other news, Queens has recently announced plans to reopen Bader College next year in 2026 after the past multi-year closure due to major structural concerns at Hurstmonceux Castle. The college was shut down in 2023 when engineers identified safety risks in the gatehouse and other parts of the historic building. Repairs are now set to wrap up by the end of this year. When it reopens, Bader College will offer a revamped academic model, as stated by the university, focusing on immersive international learning, research residencies, and sustainable campus practices, including a large-scale rewilding of the estate grounds. For CFRC's Campus Beat, I'm Henry Walker. Stay tuned for more Queens Campus News.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk with your sports report. The Queens Gaels hosted the York Lions at Richardson Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Despite missing the services of their star inside linebacker Justin Pace and their head coach Steve Snyder, both serving one-game disciplinary suspensions, the Gaels did not miss a step against the Lions as they came out of the gates hot, putting up 12 points in the first quarter. The game's first touchdown came on this short catch turned long run from number two, Russell Weir.
Russell Weir slicing and dicing through the York defense! Russell Weir! He is over the 50, the 40, the 30! He gets a block! He cuts it back! See ya! Touchdown, Queens!
That was the first of four touchdowns for quarterback number 12, Alex Vraken. He also connected with his favorite target, number 16, Nathan Falcone, on this long bomb just before the end of the first half.
Airing one out to Nathan Falcone! Caught by Nathan Falcone! See ya! Touchdown, Queens! Nathan Falcone on a beautiful ball from Alex Vraken.
Queens would tally an interception on York's final drive of the half, setting up a Cedric Smith touchdown, giving them a huge lead at halftime. The Gaels offense, simply put, put on a clinic. Alex Vraken threw for a career-high 394 yards and 4 touchdowns. Star running back number 29 Jared Kasari also scored 2 long rushing touchdowns, giving him 22 on his Queen's career. Defensively, the Gaels harassed, harangued, hurried, and hit York's star QB Keegan Hall. Number 52, Ollie Jackson, tallied a career-high 4 sacks on Saturday, and that pass rush helped number 24, Ashton Miller-Melançon, pick up interception number 15 for his Queen's career on this play.
Hall dropping back the pass, throwing this one up, picked off, Ashton Miller-Melançon, interception number 15 for Queens number 24. Great play there from the mastermind. Not who you want to throw a jump ball against.
The Gaels prevailed 57-5 over the York Lions. Queens will be on the road next week in Guelph to take on the Griffins in Guelph's homecoming game. A win for the Gaels books a playoff spot. Queens will have a bye week after the Guelph game and play their final regular season contest on October 18th, a homecoming clash with the Windsor Lancers. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the week. We begin with Monday, September 29th. Beautiful day here in the city of Kingston, 22 degrees, feeling like 22 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 13 overnight. Tuesday, September 30th, another 22 degree day, not a cloud in the sky, a beautiful sunny day, dropping down to a chilly 7 overnight. Wednesday, October 1st, daytime high of 17, overnight low of 7, but otherwise sunny and beautiful. Thursday, October 2nd, 16 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 9 overnight. Friday, October 3rd, 18 degrees is your daytime high, a beautiful sunny day, and that continues into the weekend, a very bright start to October. Saturday, October 4th, 19 degrees, feeling closer to 20, a perfect day to catch the Queens Gaels versus Guelph Griffins football game. And Sunday, October 5th, 20 degrees with plenty of sunshine and overnight low of 14. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We'll begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Bagot Street, Johnson to William is closed October 2nd from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. for Utilities Kingston to complete a service repair. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Innovation Drive, Highway 15 to Discovery is closed September 30th from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for paving operations. Johnson Street at Victoria closed until October 24th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. Lincoln Drive at Bay Ridge closed until October 10th for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Tivoli Avenue, Midland to Sierra, closed September 29th to October 17th for the installation of new services. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Cataractway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main. Gardeners Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2 to Abbeydon and St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Ave. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, limestone to jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and some road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Trudell Road, development to Danbury. Expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while the contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water mains, sidewalks, and road.
Hello, I'm Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from Queen's Department of History, and it's time for our concerts and events calendar for this week. Starting with concerts, on Monday, head to the RCHA to catch Joe Policastro Trio from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Kingston local Julia Finnegan continues her residency at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Reservations are preferred and can be booked by calling or emailing. Also on Monday, the Morning Doves play Musiki from 8 to 11 p.m. for free. On Tuesday, Musiki's weekly open mic takes place from 7 to 11 p.m. And catch Tuesdays with Eric and Megan, folk fiddle and guitar duo, at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. On Wednesday, hop on a ferry and head over to Hotel Wolf Island for open mic night from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Catch Peter Dreams with special guest Moon River at the Broom Factory beginning at 7:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online from $33. Frank Ryan plays his soulful songwriting from 8 to 11 p.m. at Musiki on Wednesday. And alternative country Irish fusion is Johnny Kirkwin's game. Catch his set at Timeout Bar and Bistro at 6 p.m. This all-ages event is free. On Thursday at the Toucan, Queen's bands Doghouse, Sleep on the Couch, and Last Call hit the stage from 9:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. It's always a good night when there's no cover, so stop by at any time. Death from Above 1979 plays at the Ale House from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets can be purchased through the Ale House or on artist's website and social media. For a night of country, Alexa Goldie, Bradley Hale, and Abby Stewart play Stages Nightclub from 6 to 10 p.m. Tickets can be purchased through Alexa Goldie's platforms from $40 to $51. Down to catch the ferry? Clear Breeze is an instrumental groove-oriented jazz, bossa nova, and more at Hotel Wolf Island from 6 to 9 p.m. And this event is free. Melissa Bedard sings both French and English at Le Sesame Theatre at 7 p.m. Tickets can be purchased for $15 to $45 online. And on Friday, at Academy Food and Drink, jazz duo Dave Beckstead and Natalie Cran play a free set from 5 to 8 p.m. The Broom Factory hosts Pierre Bensouzan, French-Algerian acoustic guitar virtuoso, vocalist, and composer. Doors open at 7:30, and tickets can be purchased through KKP Concerts at $35 each. At 5 to 8 p.m., Matt Dickinson's Rock and Roll Marathon Man features hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s at the Cove Inn. Hop on the ferry and head to Hotel Wolf Island to catch the Oscar Evans Quartet for free from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Also at the hotel, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., Duro Crew DJs Get Groovy for just $15. Oak Ridge Ave, local Kingston band, plays at the Isabel Bader Center from 8 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $25 and can be bought in person or on the Isabel's website. The mansion hosts Lookout I'm Free Tour with the Lookout Service, Freddie Freeloader, and supported by Kyra Johnson. Tickets are $18 and the show runs from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Hysteria, Montreal Def Leppard tribute, plays from 8 to 11:30 p.m. at Overtime Sports Bar. This is a 19-plus event, and tickets can be purchased through Kingston Live, the artists and venue social media, at just $23. Quite the lineup this week at the Broom Factory. On Saturday, Bridge City Sinners, Dead on a Sunday, and Joshua Quimby play at 6:30 p.m. for $35. For big energy and sound, come see Big Fat Horn Band at the RCHA. This month's special guest is Vanessa Head. Physical tickets can be purchased at the club. In the mood for some country? The Buckle hosts Rudy and the Saddle Ups for free on Saturday, so put on your boots, grab a dance partner, and head to the show at 9 p.m. At the Hotel Wolf Island, Kingston favorites Evan Jackson, as well as Run Coyote and Poplar, play from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. The Kingston Grand Theater puts on We Walk the Line, a tribute to Johnny Cash, featuring Ward Cornforth. Ward incorporates historical accounts and personal anecdotes for the show. It begins at 7:30 p.m., and tickets can be found on the Kingston Grand Theater website for $66. On Sunday, hit Time Out Bar and Bistro as Texas Tuxedo, country rock band, hit the stage from 4 to 6:30 p.m. with no cover. Then, stick around for open mic with Steve G beginning at 7 p.m. At Musiki, catch Mr. Christie's acoustic set from 8 to 11 p.m., also for free. Finally, on Sunday, the Merchant Tap House hosts DJ Postal for 19 Plus Industry Night for free. Beats start at 10 p.m. Have a concert you'd like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Hey, I'm Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from Queen's Department of History, and it's time for our events calendar for this week. On Monday, Time Out Bar and Bistro has a lovely bingo night beginning at 7 p.m., which is free to play. While the location is still being determined, Gender Diverse Song Circle takes place from 5:30 to 8 p.m. This is an all-ages event, and for more information, go to The Yellow House, Beyond the Binary Kingston, or Trans Family Kingston. Tuesday, September 30th is National Truth and Reconciliation Day. From 1 to 5:30 p.m., gather at Confederation Park for a day of reflection, learning, and connecting. The event includes community booths and activities, an Indigenous market, and community performances. Walk for Truth and Reconciliation takes place at McBurney Park starting at 5 p.m. The 5th annual Every Child Matters Walk takes place at 10 a.m. at the Mohawks of the Bay Quinty Administration Building. Seven Drunken Nights, the story of Dubliners, comes to Kingston Grand Theater at 7 p.m. Tickets can be purchased at the door or on the Grand's website for $70. The Screening Room plays Sugarcane, a documentary about the truths of the residential school system. You can register for admission on the Screening Room's website. Every Wednesday at the Mansion is karaoke. With no cover, grab your friends and head over at 9 p.m. with a song in mind. Time Out Bistro Bar also hosts karaoke at 9 p.m. Walk Right Back, The Everly Brothers Story, hits the Kingston Grand Theater this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Tickets can be purchased on the Kingston Grand Theater website. The Kingston Grand Theater presents Howie Mandel for the first show of the season at 7:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased on the Grand's website from $70 to $90. The Grad Club hosts open stage drag shows on the first Wednesday of the month from 8 to 10:30 p.m. There's a $5 cover. On Thursday, catch Original Thursdays with Rob Lutz and the History of Music Workshop at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Reservations are preferred and can be booked by calling or emailing the inn. At Kingston City Hall, catch Heritage Hour, the story of the spire with Ellie Deer. This takes place for free from noon to 1 p.m. And the Kingston Grand Theater presents This is the Story of the Child Ruled by Fear at 7:30 for $30. Tickets can be purchased at the doors or online through the Grand's website. Tierna and Og holds karaoke from 9 p.m. to midnight. And on Friday, the Historical Costume Ball Drag Show Fashion Pageant Spectacular is a No Minors event that takes place from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Grant Hall. While the early cruise for The Life of a Showgirl is sold out, the late cruise from 8 to 10 p.m. is not. Get your tickets through Kingston 1000 Islands Cruises for $30. French Hot Cuisine, Kingston's Baroque Consort's first concert of the season, takes place at St. James Anglican Church from 4:15 to 7 p.m. Physical tickets can be purchased at Novel Idea and range in price from $10 to $25. The Kingston Art Tour is back on October 4th and 5th, with more than a dozen studios and venues across the region opening their doors to showcase local artists, live performances, workshops, and music. A celebration of creativity for all ages. On Saturday, visit the Memorial Center Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and find a range of local crafts and locally sourced agriculture. There are often lawn games, music, and free activities, making it the perfect place for any age group. This market is also a great opportunity to engage with the Kingston community. The market at Wolf Island Commons runs every Saturday until October 11th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. across the street from the hotel at the waterfront. Vibrant Voices is a community song circle event for 2S LGBTQIA+ community and allies and is open to teens and adults. The event takes place at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch from 1 to 3 p.m. La Vida Bistro Bar and Social hosts stand-up comedy show in Kingston Saturday, as seen on City TV and CBC. This night of laughter begins at 8 p.m. and tickets are $20 and found through Kingston. Interwoven, a workshop in story, kinship, and land, is a multidisciplinary Indigenous performance at Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area. This free event showcases Dave Moat sharing histories of the land, taking place from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Then, on Sunday, the second part of Interwoven, taking place from 3 to 4 p.m., is an opportunity to try food and drink curated by an Indigenous chef. Following will be the performance from 4 to 5:30. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
The second annual Kingston Art Tour returns October 4th to 5th, 2025, showcasing a vibrant mix of local talent from preteens to retiring artists. Studios, cafes, and community spaces across Kingston and the surrounding area will open their doors, featuring painters, sculptors, filmmakers, textile artists, doll makers, and photographers. Highlights include the final showing of acclaimed painter Robin Law's Field, live portrait painting sessions, martial arts and swordplay demonstrations, youth theater, hands-on workshops, and an all-day music jam. With more than a dozen venues spanning Kingston, Berryfield, Glen Burnie, Sydenham, and Battersea, the self-guided tour invites the public to explore art in every form while celebrating the creative spirit of the region. For more information, go to kingstonarttour.com, at Kingston Art Tour 2025 on Instagram, or joangervais.com, joannegervais.com.